Chapter 10. She watched his eyes open. They flickered, then the lips parted, and he was looking straight at her. The lumens were set low, but he still winced. For a moment, he clearly had no idea where he was, and the panic reaction set in. She waited. He was secured to the bunk. There was a legionary stationed outside the cell on the Sickle Moon, and Yashugai was on the ship somewhere within mind reach, so she had nothing to fear. For all that, her mouth was dry. This was the final chance to salvage something from what had been her counsel. Once the man's disorientation had subsided, and he realized he was on a starship, and that the woman before him did not obviously intend to harm him, he swallowed painfully and blinked.
"Who are you?" he croaked.
Ilya passed him a canister of water. "General Ilya Ravalion, Departamento Munitorum. Who are you?" He drank greedily and handed the canister back for more.
"You don't know?"
Ilya refilled it. "Tell me your name. It will be easier if you answer the questions." He shrank back against the wall of the holding chamber. Ilya waited again. The man had gazed into the eyes of a corrupted traitor marine. His dreams would likely be bad for the rest of his life.
"I was," he said. "I was called Vale."
"Vale. Nothing else?"
"He gave us names he liked. That amused him."
"Then what were you called before that?" He looked panicked again. "It matters not. I shall call you Vale." Vale drank more. He smelt foul, despite treatment in the apothecarian for the worst of his exposure. He had suffered several broken bones and severe mental trauma. It was unlikely he had slept for several days while on Herivale, and the pollution of that world was acute.
"When we took you, you were wearing nobility robes," said Ilya. "House Ashelia. Can you tell me what your function was?"
"No."
Ilya sighed.
"Vale, whatever bonds of secrecy were placed on you are now gone. Your world is now gone. You will need to reconsider who to confide in."
Vale's hands began to shake, and he looked up and around the walls of the cell like a hunted creature.
"Where am I?"
"The 5th Legion frigate Sickle Moon."
"And what were they?"
"Your world was attacked by the 3rd Legion Astartes, the Emperor's children. Traitor space marines."
At the mention of the name, Vale shrunk back further, as if he could press himself through the metal walls.
"They were..."
"Do not think of that now. See, I am answering your questions. Now answer some of mine. What was your function?"
Even then, it took him a long time to answer. The Navigator Houses were honor-bound institutions, and bonds of confidentiality within them were laid down strongly. They were also repositories of secrets, buried deep and locked away, and it was rare for those secrets to be probed, even under the duress of war. This was the first time she had ever had occasion to quiz a magister of the nobility, and in truth, she had little idea how far she would get. Ilya waited for a third time. Vale would have to absorb what had happened and see for himself how far it nullified any orders he had been given in the past.
"I was an... but you will not understand the terms."
"Try me," she said.
"Ecumene Majoris in tabulae via speculativa. Under charter from the Pater Nova. If you are in the Departamento, you should be able to find this information."
Ilya smiled.
"That is a touching thought. How senior were you?"
Vale took another swig. He was calming down, though his fingers still trembled against the canister.
"I have served 90 years. There are no more senior positions for those without the oculus."
He lost focus.
"It was everything. The world. The houses are like worlds. There is no outside, and..."
"Concentrate, please," said Ilya, bringing him back. "You have been given drugs for your pain. I need you to think clearly. Why were you on Herivale?"
"It was ideal."
Ideal for what?
Everything. He brightened, latching onto something he could speak with authority about. It was a standard world. You know this expression? No? High in the stratum etheris. Too high. Remember your fleet dispatch. Your navigator will have told you to break the veil a long way out. Perhaps it took you weeks to reach it. That cannot be altered. Herivale is remote from a portal absolute, and thus the harmonics are insignificant, almost completely insignificant. When I first arrived, I could not believe it. They detected nothing. Even Pieter could not. That was remarkable.
Ilya listened. Much of what he said made no sense to her, but that was not important. He was talking now, and that was the main thing. And unbidden, he had already said the name she sought, which boded well.
So, imagine you are doing what we are doing, Vale went on. You could not wish for somewhere more suited. We were able to make great progress. There were charts. Oh, there were charts!
He broke off, looking confused.
You destroyed the monsters?
Ilya nodded. All killed. All those we could find.
And so you took back Vorlax. There was a spire close to the edge of the outer city. It had a double crown, the mark of the house on the eastern side. Did you retrieve anything?
All the cities were burned, Ilya said. All the spires were ruined. I had explorator teams search Vorlax. There was nothing. That made Vale recoil as if stung.
So that is why they came, he muttered, disgusted, to destroy it.
I do not think so. I do not think they came for you. If they had known you were there, they would have hunted you from the beginning, and you would not have evaded them. She remembered the scale of the devastation. Even a relatively minor legion splinter was capable of turning whole planets into slag, and the dead on Herivale must have numbered in the millions. They are burning worlds one by one, marking a route back to Terra. It was your misfortune to be in the way.
Misfortune, mumbled Vale, numbly. Not just ours. All lost, then.
How long had you been working there?
3 years.
And before that?
On Dinal 5, a nobilite sanctuary world. Before that, Terra.
He allowed himself a blush of pride.
Have you seen the palace?
I have. I have walked the streets of the Regio Navigans and seen whether Pater Nova, exalted be his name, dwells in splendor.
Ilya wondered what had happened to the Navigator's quarter now. In lockdown, no doubt, surrounded by growing fortifications. The vast old mutant at the heart of it all was probably being watched by 100 of Malkador's agents for the slightest twitch of insurrection. And vice versa. Like every element of the sprawling imperial hierarchy, the navigators were split in twain, their agents and lords straddling both sides of the great divide. How many of their houses had gone over fully to the enemy? Was there any other institution, even including the Cult of Mars, that was less well understood by those outside its cabals, echelons, and rituals? Vale stopped talking and looked at her strangely.
So, how did you know?
Know what, Vale?
That we were being attacked.
We did not. At least, we could not be sure. Ilya recalled the heated discussions with Yashugai, Jubal, and the two Noyan Khans. Only Kinjar had been calm, accepting whatever outcome the Khagan adopted. It would be good to see him again, she thought, when they reached the muster point. You must know little of what has happened since you left Denal 5, so let me inform you. The war has grown. There are no places of refuge left, and soon the enemy will be at the gates of Terra itself. You are now among the White Scars Legion, who are still fighting. As far as we know, we are the only full legion still fighting, though unless we can break free and see our way into the open void, we cannot know anything with certainty. Vale took in the information soberly, sipping every so often from the canister. I hide nothing from you. We are trapped, Ilya told him. Warp storms block the principal routes back to the throne world. Four traitor legions are tracking us and have closed a ring of steel around us. Every attempt we make to break this ring has failed, and our room to maneuver grows narrower. The Kargan, the Primarch, he has made an oath to reach the Emperor's side before the final assault comes. That means a great deal to this legion. They will die rather than leave an oath unfulfilled, but the universe has made it difficult. So every course is tried. We are fighting, not just for survival, but to reach the solar system before the War Master closes the approaches.
You speak of the Great Fracture, said Vale, nodding. We tracked the course of the storms. We knew they were coming. Even he did not know how they did it.
Yes, they are part of the problem, so our navigators tell us. The enemy has other powers over the wider warp and allies within it. That is the other part. And so we are hunting for the narrowest path to terror.
Ilya leaned forwards, crossing her legs.
Listen, Vale. When I was serving in the Imperial Army, I had many contacts in the houses. I knew one Novator in particular. We served jointly during the Crusade and achieved much together. I assisted him with some logistical matters, and he disclosed more to me than was common for your kind. I came to understand that he was close to high-ranking figures at the Imperial Court, and that the things I was assisting him with were part of something much larger than he could tell me. I did not press him then. We remained friends, and I admired his work, and that was that.
Vale listened to her intently. His lower lip hung down by a fraction.
But I knew enough, Ilya said. I knew that some great project was being enacted, and that he was a part of it. Perhaps only a very small part, but even that was so heavily guarded that I was left in no doubt of its importance. We parted ways long before the onset of the war, but I never forgot. The last I had heard, he had been due to take a posting at Denal 5. 8 months ago, we were there. It was deserted, all life erased, all spires empty. But it had not been invaded, for the war was at that point a long way off. Denal 5 had been destroyed by its inhabitants. Why? I do not know. Perhaps you do.
Vale gave no sign.
That might have been the end to it, Ilya said. But there are those within the Legion who are adept at decoding hidden signs, ones that would have been invisible to me no matter how long I looked at them. After much toil, the Stormseers gave me a name. Herivale. It was clear that he had gone there. We did not know why. We did not know when. It took me a long time to persuade the Primarch to permit an expedition, and in order to achieve it, we had to combine it with a dozen other raids lest our intentions be read. That has no doubt exacted a cost in lives. It is important, then, that it was not done for nothing. She looked directly at him. I had hoped to find this man again, for I believe that if anyone could guide us out of the tempest, he could. You know of whom I speak. You have already named him. Pieter Achelieu. Vale, you must tell me if you know. Where is he now?
Vale chuckled sourly.
I wish I knew. Well, I do know, but it will do you no good.
Ilya pulled back, giving him space.
He was never on Herivale for long, said Vale. He came and went, like they all do. Perhaps you have never seen a navigator house's own vessels. They are like nothing you have ever sailed in. He would embark on journeys that should have taken weeks and be there in days. He could read the seethe like a mortal reads a chrono.
The seethe?
The immaterium, the warp. Achelieu was the best of the long generation, they told me, and having witnessed him scry the tides, I cannot dispute it. Some had already marked him for Pater Nova, given a few centuries more. Who knows? There is always gossip. But he was good. By the Cartomancer, he was good. And he left it all behind, all for the greater purpose.
Which was?
What we were doing on Herivale. How can I explain it to you?
He pressed his fingers together and frowned.
There are schools of thought in the houses, different methods of engaging with the seethe, some treated like a beast, an animal, to be tamed or ridden, others as a ritual, a kind of dance, or an artwork even. Can you imagine? But there is a third doctrine, that the warp is nothing more than a mirror, one that can be charted just as real space is charted. They believe the paradoxes can be overcome, and that one day living maps will be created, ones that predict the storms and give reliable guides to the ether flux.
Vale smiled absently, remembering.
That was what we were doing in Vorlax. We were topographers, psycho-sounders, ether readers. We were attempting to compass the stratum etheris. All of it. It was the work of generations.
Did you succeed?
We were nowhere close. We kept going because he was so sure, and he demanded it, and he had a way of making you believe that it was possible. But there were other things, too. Places he would go to. I wasn't privy to all the secrets, but we did know about Dark Glass. Just the name. I never saw it, never knew where it was. He'd gone there, but this time he never came back.
You heard nothing?
Not a thing. We kept working. We thought he'd return. When they came. At first I thought it might be something to do with him. Thrown off Earth, we were so unprepared.
Vale shuddered.
Not that we could have done much if we had known.
What is Dark Glass?
I do not know.
You must do. Ilya felt her frustration rising. The name must mean something.
It was a component of the project. A place, that is all.
Vale looked distressed.
If I had known more, do you not think I would have gone after him? He was close. He was a Novator. They bind their secrets within secrets. I was desperate to find him. We all were.
Anything. A system name, a subsector.
Vale looked genuinely frustrated. Ilya had interrogated many subjects in her time and had a good sense for deception. Right then, she detected none.
He hid his tracks, said Vale,
pulling his robes about him and shivering.
I would have followed him, but all I have is the name, and that would not have got me far.
Nor us, said Ilya grimly.
You cannot tell me anything else. Lots of things, said Vale, brightening. I can tell you of the warp's wonders, the arts and sciences of its delving. I know things even the oculi do not. For what they see with their eye, I have had to scour from the depths of nobility manuals. I know all these things. I can tell you them all.
Ilya felt her heart sink. If he truly could not follow Ashelia's route, then the raids were all for nothing. Taxia's counsel would prevail, and the Legion would erase its oaths in death, achieving nothing but a little more delay to the War Master's offensive.
Keep talking, she said,
trying not to let her despair show, trying to hold on to diminishing hope.
Tell me everything you know.
The land before them smouldered in columns of rust-tinged darkness. Trenches scored the charred earth, each sodden with oily water. The sky was occluded, apart from savage flashes of white as massed las barrages kicked out. Far ahead, more than 10 kilometers to the northeast, a column of armor smashed its way towards the besieged walls of the imperial bastion city, Crassus, demolishing haphazard lines of razor wire and iron cross tank defences. In the wake of the mechanised spearhead, ranks of masked troopers marched, lasguns and carapace shredders hoisted onto their shoulders. Their visors glowed ghost blue in the drifting night. Across the cloud-barred horizon, greater explosions hammered out, underlighting thunderheads with flicker patterns of illumination. The dirty trails of Thunderhawk backwash criss-crossed the light show, overseen by the hazy shadows of orbital bulk landers lurching their way to planetfall. Another world was being carved apart, city by city. The 4th Legion had arrived, as just one of 1,000 operations undertaken by that vast host of siege breakers. The precise denomination did not concern those who darted under the shadow of the oncoming vanguard, though, wheeling amid the gloom like unlocked stars, for life and death meant precisely nothing for those who had sworn it away. Torgun was at the apex, closely followed by Sanyaza. The rest came behind in a wedge formation, crouched in their saddles, holding their machines low and tight to the earth. The jet bike's mag plates whined as they grazed the poisoned soils, under flying sensor umbrellas and moving far too fast for tracker sweeps.
"You did not speak the truth to me, Khan,"
voxed Sanyaza, tilting to avoid a burning web of metal struts.
"When was this?"
Torgun replied, arming his Holand clamps and switching to short-range targeting.
"When you took the communication from the fleet."
"Brother, this is really not the time."
The jet bike formation hurtled towards the land raider column, still undetected, but now in visual range. Solid clunks rang out as every warrior of the squadron slotted heavy bolt rounds into the inline magazines.
"Nonetheless, you did not speak the truth."
"Concentrate. They have seen us."
Tracer fire spat out from the armored column, followed by the dance of projectiles. The land raiders were turning, pivoting heavily on their axes, and the troopers were rushing out, falling to the ground and angling their guns. All too late.
"Now, take them,"
Torgun cried, piling on the velocity. The jet bikes ate up the ground, driving furrows ahead of them with massed heavy bolter fire. The earth exploded upwards into a rolling tide, punctuated by the diced internals of the mortals caught up in the hurricane. Then they were over the tanks, and every rider loosed their Holand clamps. The star-shaped mines flew out, slamming into the adamantium hulls of the land raiders and locking fast. In a fraction of a second, the jet bikes were on the far side and gunning hard, pursued by a hail of return fire. The clamps went off. 2 land raiders blew up, their hulls destroyed by the dozens of explosives latched to their exteriors. 3 more were rocked to a standstill, grinding down into the mire with their smokestacks churning. 7 more received glancing damage and came after them, trundling across pitted ground, lasbeams stabbing out into the night, their own bolters thundering. It was still too slow. The Sagyamazan whooped wildly, pulling clear of ground level, putting distance between them and the vengeful armor. They burned across the wasteland, ducking and slewing, riding the hail of laser light like mariners on the waves. Soon they were beyond pursuit, herring back to the rendezvous with the lifter. Their presence had been detected now, and the entire planetary attack force would be converging on them. They had perhaps 7 minutes to make it off-world before the pincers caught up.
"So, what did it say?"
voxed Sanyaza, driving hard.
"I told you," voxed Torgun, irritated.
"The Horde will never attack Lansis. It will never attack Gethmora. I regret this, but you are lying to me, Daga."
Torgun glanced over at Sanyaza's speed-blurred outline.
"Say that with a weapon in my hand."
"They have called us back."
The wedge sped onwards, sweeping in a curve away from doomed Krasis. Just one desperate chase on a world scored with 1,000,000 other duels.
"And if they have," replied Torgun, "what would that matter? Penance through death. That is what we are now."
"Not by choice."
"It was all about choice."
"That can change. We are still alive."
"If you do not cease this, that too may change."
Ahead of them, shrouded by heavy clouds of soot and drifting ash, the lifter was coming down, running dark, its presence only given away by forward short-range augers. The jet bikes decelerated by the bare minimum, scraping up the open ramp and skidding into the lifter's hangar. As soon as the last one was in, the ship's atmospheric drives boosted back to full power and the void doors hauled themselves closed. Torgun kicked his bike's power off, dismounted, and strode over to where Sanyaza was doing the same. He caught the warrior by the chest and slammed him into the hangar wall.
"Speak to me like that again, and I end you."
Sanyaza did not fight back. He let his arms go limp.
Around them both, the rest of the kill squad assembled warily.
I would follow you into the ice halls of the underworld, my Khan, he said, calmly, reverting to the old rank designation. You do not need to keep this from us.
Torgon held position for a few moments longer, then let Senyaza go. He twisted his helm free, turned away, and ran his gauntlet across his cropped scalp.
Damn you, he breathed, and damn them.
Senyaza removed his own helm.
The need must be great for them to consider it.
Of course the need is great, Torgon spat back. What does that alter? We are alone now. That was how they wanted it. We all took the trials.
Muffled cracks made the lifter's hull shake. Something had trained weapons on them, and the vessel picked up speed. Senyaza maglocked his helm and wiped sweat from his face.
What did it say?
Around them, the surviving members of the kill squad clustered, all of them looking at Torgon. None had drawn a blade, but their faces were implacable. After more than 4 years, they wanted to know. Torgon suddenly remembered his last sight of the Starspear from the shuttle that would take him to the flagship for his interrogation. He remembered the shame of it. He remembered the tech marine scouring the lightning strike from his pauldron. He remembered the looks on the faces of his judges. Chogorian faces they had been. Alien faces. Senyaza did not move. The others did not move. The hull shakes died away, indicating that the lifter had pulled clear of land-based attacks and would now make it back to R-54 in one piece. So they would live to fight another day. They would live to take the war to the enemy one more time.
What did they say?
Asked Senyaza again. Torgon looked back to him, back at the still proud face, the epitome of the plains warrior, even after being cast loose. Senyaza had never stopped believing. For himself, Torgon had never truly believed, not even from the start. That was always the difference, the one that had opened the door to weakness. He took a deep, resigned breath.
This could bring nothing but pain.